I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, in anticipation of next week's gathering in Indianapolis of the leaders of America's cities for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, we will talk with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gaul of Visit Indy about what the event means for this city and about the challenges and opportunities before cities across America. Please join this conversation. You can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be coming to Indianapolis, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. And if you would like to join the conversation, talk a little bit about the challenges and opportunities before cities, and specifically the city of Indianapolis or Indiana cities in general, you can do so by giving us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are with me in the studio right now, Chris Gaul, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Visit Indy. We'll be joined shortly by Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett. Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, John, thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about what this event is. We'll talk about more of the policy and challenges confronting cities in a bit, but talk to me about what the conference is and what it means for the city to be hosting it.
Well, sure. On an annual basis, Indianapolis hosts more than 600 different conventions in any one year, and so this is really a big deal. It's not necessarily the quantity of visitors, rather the quality of visitors coming in for this conference. Back in 2013, Mayor Ballard approached us and said, I'd really like to have this influential group meet in Indianapolis, and I'd really like to have them here in 2016. It'll be a presidential election year, more buzz, more topics to discuss. And we went and collectively approached the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and we won the bid to host it, again, coming up the 24th, 25th, 26th of this month inside the walls of the JW. We beat out other major cities. Last year, as a point of perspective, San Francisco hosted this the year before, Dallas. We are tracking to have just as many mayors and even more delegates here in Indianapolis as part of this gathering. And so, again, hot topics that every major city is facing will be discussed within the walls of the JW. And we're anticipating 250 mayors from across the country. These are mayors representing the largest cities. In addition to that, about 100 national media, political media, will be inside the JW to be a part of this conference. So it's a really big deal. And it was a really seamless transition moving from Mayor Ballard into Mayor Hogsett to pick up the reins and to make sure that Indy shines on the national stage.
And it's a big deal. I mean, among other things, you've got both presidential candidates most likely coming in. Right, Chris?
Yeah, the U.S. Conference of Mayors has invited both presidential candidates to come to address these mayors. As you can imagine, during the election cycle, this is an optimal time to get in front of all the decision makers, if you will. So while we don't know for sure if they're going to be here, there's a high likelihood they will, which adds to the mystique, the amount of media who will be here to cover the conference, and just the overall buzz that is the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
And we are joined now by Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett, who fought his way through the torrential rains to get here to the studio. Good to see you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I'm glad to be here, John, and you're absolutely right. It is rather gamey out there this
it
afternoon.
It is indeed. Well, what does having the U.S. Conference of Mayors mean for the city of Indianapolis from the mayor's perspective?
Well, there's no question, John, that it will be a great opportunity for the city to once again show its colors in the national spotlight. Chris probably mentioned that earlier. We're going to have maybe anywhere from 225 to 250 mayors from all over the country. More than 1,000 participants are going to be conferees. I don't know how many national media folks will show up, but particularly, as Chris just mentioned, if if both major party presidential candidates come, I'm sure that there will be an enormous amount of attention. So from the mayor's perspective, not only is it a great way to showcase the good things that are going on in Indianapolis, but yet have another opportunity for people all over the country and, frankly, all over the world to see Indianapolis as the newly emerging international and cosmopolitan city that it is becoming. And I relish the opportunity to lead the city during this time.
And I feel like I want to talk about this event and you know, the nature of Indianapolis's arrival, but I'm sure we all feel that we'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't make some acknowledgement about what happened in Orlando, Florida over the weekend. I know the U.S. Conference of Mayors issued a statement of solidarity with the people of Orlando and the mayor down there, Buddy Dyer. I've got to believe this is when all of you mayors get in a room together, because there are very few cities now in this country that have not been plagued by this kind of violence, that it's going to be one of the things that you will be talking about. Is that the case, and what do you plan to share?
Well, I think that's an appropriate question to ask, particularly in the aftermath of that numbing, senseless act of violence against innocent Americans in Orlando. You know, John, the election for mayor of Indianapolis took place in November.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to lead the city, the Kennedy School of Government out in Cambridge, mm-hmm. On the Harvard campus, has a school for newly elected mayors,
mm-hmm.
Which I attended. 3 days of, you know, intense training about what mayors need to know about how to be a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, the incident in San Bernardino had occurred just the previous week, if yet a week, immediately preceding this newly elected mayor's conference. So the point is that I remember vividly, of all of the 3 days intense seminars where you're talking about things like infrastructure and economic development, job creation, workforce development, educational attainment and opportunity, the two sessions of that conference where you could have heard a pin drop,
mm-hmm.
was one, the session that dealt with an active shooter scenario,
mm-hmm.
Because of the timeliness of the San Bernardino tragedy, and the other session that your listeners will no doubt appreciate was American cities in the post-Ferguson, post-Baltimore era, mm-hmm. where police and community relationships are now all held in an absolute premium. So, long-winded way of getting to the answer to your question, I have no doubt that given the enormous tragedy, mm-hmm. That has recently taken place in Orlando, that there will be a considerable amount of discussion among the mayors, and probably more time dedicated to that than was originally planned because of the timeliness of the event and the occurrence of the conference.
When you get together to talk about something like that, and I promise, I don't want to spend the whole hour on this, but I think we probably all realize there's a moral obligation when something like this happens to at least acknowledge it and walk through it. When you get together, you know, for example, is the mayor of Orlando planning to come? Do we know? Is Buddy Dyer?
You know, that's a great question. I think initially, yes, was slated to attend.
Okay. I mean, what kinds of things do you do to help each other? Because I would think right now he's got to feel like the world just fell on his shoulders. He's, you know, he's supposed to all of the other stuff you were talking about that they tell you about at the Kennedy School and you're preparing to be mayor, it's all about moving the ball forward. Here, it's just about taking a bad situation and trying to make it a little bit less worse for the people involved.
Well, and that is absolutely true, John. I hope that and Chris and I or the conference organizers have not had the time to talk about it, this being just 48 hours after the enormous tragedy. I hope that we amend our conference schedule to take some time so that as a collective group of elected leaders of cities around the country, that we can, in our own way, mourn and grieve the tragedy. I would be shocked if the mayor of Orlando is here, and I'm deeply saddened by what he is going through. The other thing is that as a mayor, not only in the active shooter scenario, but more and more of these mayoral conferences are talking about how a city should respond, emergency preparedness for not just issues of terror or hate or homeland security measures, but how do we better prepare and respond to Hurricane Katrina conditions or in the Midwest particularly tornado and tornadic activity generally or other natural disasters that will inevitably strike communities that may or may not be well prepared for them. So tragedy finds its form in many shapes and sizes. And all too often, we do tend to, when we come together in conferences like this, focus on how do we create more jobs and how do we bring more business to our community and how do we better educate our kids. And all of those issues are enormously important. That's the sum and substance of city building. But it's in those moments when you are least expecting enormous tragedy, upheaval, and chaos that hits your city is really where the metal meets the road and or the rubber meets the road. And that's probably going to have a preeminent place in the discussions. I also hope that, as I said earlier, that we take some quiet time to reflect and to join in solidarity in mournful grief.
So, and I'm going to move away from this now, but it sounds like, you know, in addition to being a showcase for the city, that there's some serious work that gets done in these sessions too.
Yeah, having attended a few ahead of this hosting to see how it's pulled off from a host city perspective, there are serious topics and serious discussions. And although I think the mayor would agree, cities viciously compete on a daily basis for talent attraction, talent retention, tourism. It's also very collegial in the coming together. And I know from, you know, you look at Baltimore and you look at Ferguson, St. Louis, Katrina in New Orleans, and now this tragedy in Orlando. Although, and your listeners might find it interesting that we compete with Orlando for convention business on a daily basis, but yet we've reached out to the Orlando tourism folks to say we're sorry to hear about this and how can we help. And so at the end of the day, we're all in it together. But these conferences, and if you think about whether it's this tragedy or water quality, those topics, those important issues will be discussed not in Chicago, not in Denver, in Indianapolis. And so thought leaders will come here to address the mayors, national candidates most likely to address the mayors. That helps position Indianapolis as a vibrant international city, that we have the capabilities and the infrastructure to have major conferences, major speakers, major thought leaders in our city discussing big, heady topics. That's appealing from a tourism perspective, and when you're looking to brand a city as first tier.
What goes into bringing something like this to the city? How complicated a process is it?
Well, in 2013, we went with a very aggressive proposal, and we beat out major cities. And then you start looking at hotels. Where does that fit in? And the JW is our host hotel. It's going to be a packed weekend, so you start looking at logistics and the security of having Mayor Hogsett's counterparts in to the city and national speakers. So it's very complex, and we've been planning for 2 years, and really under Mayor Hogsett in the last 6 to 7 months, really gearing that up on a weekly basis, working with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. They've been in 10 to 12 times in the last 2 years to cite the city, and so we feel really prepared and honored.
If you are just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall, who is Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Visit Indy, about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be coming to Indianapolis, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall, Vice President of Marketing and Communication for Visit Indy, about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be arriving in Indianapolis not this weekend, but the following weekend. So we've talked a bit, obviously, about the huge tasks in front of cities and mayors in pretty much the worst-case scenarios. We haven't talked much about the conference itself. Once we get all of these mayors in the city, what are we going to have them do? What parts of the city are we going to show them? Mayor Hogsett, what do you want them to see about your city?
Yeah, I think that we want them to certainly see the city in its entirety. And, in fact, on Friday night, the very first night of the conference, we will be inviting the mayors to take a bus ride up to Carmel, Indiana, which we all now and indeed recognize is part of a greater metropolitan Indianapolis. The contiguous counties have become as essential to our long-term health and well-being as a city, as the city itself. So that's a good example of how broad the scope will be. There will be a lot for these mayors and other conference participants to do. We want to show off our downtown, obviously, the fact that it is so accessible, so negotiable, so walkable. I want them to see I want them to experience the cultural trail. I want them to experience our great neighborhoods, to see what has happened on Mass Ave and Fletcher Place and Fountain Square, and frankly, even encourage them to get beyond the urban core and maybe into some of the neighborhoods that are in development. We're going to have a lot of activities for them to enjoy. There's going to be not directly associated with the U.S. Conference of Mayors, but I think your listeners would find it only appropriate, John, that we'll have from Alpha to the Omega of music acts in town that weekend, ranging from Bob Dylan to Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band to Justin Bieber to Lady Gaga will be here. And I just, if they can't find something really, really entertaining to do in Indianapolis that weekend, they're not looking, because it's going to be quite a weekend for Indianapolis.
And I think we could use a moment of levity. I'm pretty sure that may be the first time in human history that Bob Dylan and Justin Bieber have been mentioned in the same sentence.
Now, and imagine if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton arrived to add to the mix of collection of people. And to the mayor's point, it's a monumental weekend. We will have more than 200,000 people here. Certainly the U.S. Conference of Mayors is a huge part of that. But as the mayor mentioned, we'll have major concerts and the USA Volleyball Championship. And there's a Corvette show at the Motor Speedway. And the Idle Jork has its Indian market. We believe when it's all said and done, that weekend, including the U.S. Conference of Mayors, will generate $60 million and tourism economic impact for the city. So it'll be a really fun and vibrant weekend, but one that is easy to show off the mayors and what to do in Seen Indy.
You've alluded to this but we ought to talk a little bit about the security concerns that come with having the leadership of major metropolitan areas all across the country, two presidential candidates, and just a lot of people, particularly in this, in this era. What does that do to, how much of that load does the city have to carry? How much of it is shared with other parts of either the state or the federal government? Mayor Hogsett.
Well, it's all shared, and what the city will certainly assume the bulk of the security. But having been the former federal prosecutor, I know a little bit about working with the Secret Service, and certainly to the extent that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump might be in town, we certainly defer to their judgment and leadership. Our state partners are always ready, willing, and able to jump in at moment's notice and help. But the point I guess I want to underscore is, and Chris can verify this from the Visit Indy perspective, this community is so uniquely well-positioned to sponsor and to host larger-than-life events like a Super Bowl, like the NCAA Final Four championships. And what we just recently experienced and enjoyed was the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Speedway tells me that they had an estimated crowd of 350,000 people in a 2.5 mile oval.
Yeah,
that's a lot of people packed.
That's
into
a major city.
That's a major city in a 2.5 mile square. So, Indianapolis is capable of doing it. And while, and that's not to mention the security that individual mayors will bring with them. The mayors of our country's largest cities have significant security teams that travel with them because of the nature of their profile. So everyone working in collaboration and cooperation, we have no reason to believe that you never take anything for granted, but Indianapolis does these types of big events better than any city in America. And I obviously say that from a subjective perspective, but I think it's true. And I will welcome the opportunity to have as many people come to Indianapolis that weekend, spend their money, enjoy our city, and leave with a very, very positive impression.
If you are just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gaul of Visit Indy about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors. It should be arriving. All of the mayors and a lot of other dignitaries, apparently, will be arriving in our city, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. If you would like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Bruce has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I recently heard a great TED Talk that touched upon this notion of the conferences of mayors. And there's apparently a World Parliament of Mayors or a World Conference of Mayors that occurs. And in this TED Talk, he made the point that mayors are the practical politicians that get things done in our society, that seek consensus. You know, they're down in the trenches fighting versus you know, not getting anything done, which we see from many other politicians in our life. We saw this with our last mayor, and I look forward to seeing it with our current mayor. Welcome to being our mayor, Mayor Hogsett. Congratulations on being elected. How did we get this done? How do we give the mayors more power? Which basically this man was saying, you know, what a good thing it would be if these practical politicians were given more power, you know, in our lives.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Bruce. And I'll reframe it ever so slightly here so that you're not making a naked power grab for yourself here, and we'll talk more generically here. Would it be? Because this is an idea, you know, that leading up to the election, we had all of the former mayors of Indianapolis on a program, and they all sort of said that is one of the things about being mayor is, you know, you just don't have the luxury of posturing. Cities have to run, and you got to get things done.
Well, John, Bruce is absolutely right. And by the way, Bruce, thank you for your kind remarks. You know, I think the nature of his question and observation was certainly brought home to me. I think it was in August of 2014. I had left the U.S. Attorney's Office and was actively considering the possibility of running for mayor a year later. But I remember, and I think it was August or September of 2014, that Thomas Friedman wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times. And I think it was entitled, he entitled it, "I Want to Be a Mayor." He didn't say, "I want to be mayor" or "the mayor." The topic was, "I want to be a mayor." And he made two essential points. He said, first, with Washington being the gridlocked, stagnant place that it has become, overwhelmed by ideological chasm and hyper-partisan divide, and even some state legislatures are now falling prey to that kind of divisiveness. His point was that it was really at the local level, and this is what Bruce was saying. I mean, he called it practical politicians. Well, it was at the local level where government was actually still being creative, innovative, and responsive, nimble, if you will. The other thing that Friedman argued in this piece was the reason for that is that a mayor or a city council person, some local level, local leader, has to do one thing that none of those other folks, the congresspeople and even the legislators, they don't have to do. And that is, when I leave the office, I drive home to my home in Nora, and I pull into my driveway, and I face all my neighbors. And if they are not happy with what I'm saying or doing, or alternatively, if they happen to be pleased, they're not bashful about sharing their perspective. So there's an immediate accountability at the local level that one can never escape. And I think it forces you to put aside the ideological differences that many in our country seem to be ensnared by. And the last thing I would say in that regard is that local problems tend not to be partisan in nature. I mean, there is no such thing as a Republican or a Democratic pothole. It's just a pothole.
Yeah.
And it's got to be filled. So when you are dealing on a daily basis with the delivery of basic city services, which many people in our community depend on, those are not partisan issues. And that's why I'm proud that so far during the first 6 months of my tenure as mayor, we have passed five or six measures before the city county council made up of 25 individuals, 13 of whom happen to be of one party and 12 of the other. But each of these initiatives that have passed, John, have passed with 16, 17, 18, 19 votes, not straight party line votes, but rather we've been governing by coalition, not by party-driven politics.
And I'm assuming, you know, that when you get together with your peers, the other mayors like that, Is it sort of a post-partisan kind of conversation? Because you made the point, you're all talking about jobs, you're all talking about education, you're all talking about how you position your cities to be competitive in an increasingly Darwinian world.
Yeah, on the scale writ large, Republicans and Democrats, when they come to a U.S. conference of mayors, don't identify themselves by their party. They are identified by the cities they represent, by the regions and the particular interests that those regions represent. And even here at the local level, I'm very pleased to say that Metro Indianapolis will be very, very, very well represented at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, where you have the mayor of Indianapolis, the mayor of Lawrence, Steve Collier, will be in attendance. Obviously, we've mentioned Mayor Brainerd. My dear friend Jim Brainerd up in Carmel is a leading light in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. I am confident that Mayor Cook and Mayor Fadness, along with many other of the Central Indiana mayors, most of whom happen to be Republican, I happen to be a Democrat, we put all of that aside and start working collaboratively and cooperatively toward what is best for our region and how can we strengthen the position of metropolitan Indianapolis in job creation, talent, recruitment and retention, educational attainment, workforce development, infrastructure investments. How can we work on those issues collaboratively and from a regional perspective? And that just simply eschews party labels.
If you were just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall, Vice President of Marketing and Communication for Visit Indy, about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be arriving not this weekend, but the following one. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can find us on social media. You can call us at 866-476-3881, or you can do what a listener named Benjamin has done. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. This one is not so much a question as a reminder, as if the agenda weren't crowded enough. He says, don't forget the Dalai Lama is also coming on June 25th to the Farmers Coliseum. Who will not be here, Chris? Is that might be easier to...
Again, if you're in the business of marketing a city and driving tourism, it's a monumental weekend. And again, from 25,000 Corvettes at the Motor Speedway to Bob Dylan at the lawn, you have the Olympic diving trials inside the Natatorium, three Indians games, an Indy 11 game, Justin Bieber inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse, U.S. Volleyball Championship. Again, 200,000 people. We have about 22 different events. That's very complex, yet doable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big thing for listeners is that, to Mayor Hogsett's point earlier, that this city, the downtown, was built deliberately mm-hmm. with events in mind. And the nimbleness to have events inside the convention center, inside the Fieldhouse, Victory Field, White River State Park, individual hotels, and all work together. And so we've been working hard for 2 years to put all these pieces together. I think your listeners would find it interesting that a lot of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, most of which traveling on a per diem, use this summer conference as a vacation for their family and friends. And so we've been gearing up to have pre and post tours where mayors might come in with their families and spend a few days on the front end or the back end exploring Indianapolis. And so while either the mayor's inside doing business, we're also having excursions for family and friends to see Conner Prairie, to see the Motor Speedway, the world's largest children's museum. And so even afterwards, we're offering tickets so that families and mayors can experience Indianapolis as a vacation destination while doing business.
And how crowded is the agenda? I mean, are there going to be how much time? Obviously, the family members are going to be able to do this, but are the mayors actually going to have time to get away and see some of this stuff?
Yeah, it's a crowded agenda. Certainly during the day within the JW Marriott, there will be conference sessions all day long, but in the evenings, as I said earlier, John will be going to Carmel on Friday night. We'll be hosting all the mayors and their families at our great Indianapolis Children's Museum. And then on Sunday night, we'll be going across the street from the JW to the NCAA headquarters, and we're going to have a college and sports-related theme and entertainment there. And then finally, on Monday night, the last night of the conference, of course, we'll be going to the venerable and historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I will tell you, because I know we're going out to break, that if I was asked one question above all others as I was out trying to encourage mayors to come to Indianapolis, the one question that I was asked repeatedly was, do we get to go to the track?
If you are just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall of Visit Indy about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be arriving not this coming weekend, but the following weekend in Indianapolis. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be arriving in Indianapolis in about 10 days. My guests are Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communication for Visit Indy. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Mark has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I would like to ask Joe if the first 6 months that he's been in office, if they've been easier than what he had imagined or more difficult.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Mark.
Yes, thanks, Mark. I think it was what I expected it to be. The one thing that has surprised me a bit is the relentlessness of the pace. And I don't think you can ever fully appreciate until you're actually in the office that there is just a lot that is required to help guide and lead this city. There are so many dedicated public servants who work diligently to assist in that regard, but it seems that every day I will get ready to come in to work and have the two things that I want to accomplish that day in mind, only to have by 10:30 a.m. those two things pushed off for another couple of days because you're dealing with something that has occurred overnight. So the one surprising aspect has just been the relentlessness of the pace. But you adjust to that accordingly, and hopefully so far I've been able to make those adjustments. I just disclose to people whenever I can. Pay no attention to the bags under my eyes. I'm still okay.
That intrigues me because it's not like this was your first foray. I mean, you were Secretary of State and you were a chief of staff to a governor. I mean, do you think being mayor is more demanding than either of those roles?
You know, I think it is every bit as demanding, if not more so, than either of those roles. You would think that certainly at the state level, you're dealing with a lot of immediate challenges and priorities, and you certainly are. But at the local level, and this is kind of reminiscent of the conversation that we had with Bruce, everything is local and everything is immediate. The other thing that comes with the job, by the way, John, and I'm not complaining about it because I knew this going in, but the public depends on their mayor to respond to almost every particular situation in which they encounter some form of challenge or difficulty. And I have found in these first 6 months, it's not sufficient to try to explain to somebody, well, I'm technically not in charge of that, or I don't have authority over that. In fact, they expect their mayors to be as responsive as possible. That carries with it a level of engagement and a level of time commitment that you're never really prepared for. But as I said, I have a lot of good people who are helping lead this city. The administration is one of the most diverse in our city's history, and I'm very proud of that. We have an administration leading Indianapolis that looks like Indianapolis, and I think that's an important point. So on many levels, I think while the challenges are relentless, we're doing our best to keep up.
If you'd like to reach out and join this conversation, you can do what a listener named Gary has done and reach out to us via Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Gary says, a demographics question. I am not sure if anyone knows if the Orlando tragedy occurred within the college-educated high-income demographic or the opposite. Indianapolis statistics indicate areas with issues of low educational attainment and high crime. Not sure if the biggest tragedies are occurring in the different demographic.
Well, I will tell you that in Indianapolis, Gary is spot on. We see a disproportionate amount of particularly gun-related violence, mm-hmm. but violent crime generally. And I'm talking about aggravated assault, homicides, obviously, aggravated assaults, robberies. Mm-hmm. We see a disproportionate amount of violent crime in those areas of our city that tend to be more economically disadvantaged. And there are many causes. That is why Chief Troy Riggs and I have been trying to focus on this holistic approach to trying to address the root causes of crime, investing in our kids at the earliest possible age, trying to provide a comprehensive summer jobs program mm-hmm. for teenagers, trying to deal with hunger and food insecurity-related issues, the systemic challenges that our city faces. I think in all too many instances, we have neighborhoods in our city that have been certainly overlooked, dare I say ignored. Mm-hmm. And that's why last week's announcement, for example, of putting in the beginning of beginning with 100 new streetlights in areas where, frankly, neighborhoods are populated by people who will not come out of their home once the sun goes down because they live in fear. And those are the challenges that Indianapolis faces. I can't speak to Orlando because I don't know the demographics down there well enough to make comment. But I do know Indianapolis, and I do know we're doing our dead level best to try to address those.
Have you seen, and we've obviously, FYI has reported pretty extensively on the system of intervening in those neighborhoods in a series called Intersections. Has it gone far enough that you've begun to see some signs of success that you know, you're making some headway there? And that will that be one of the stories you share with other mayors from around the country?
Yeah, one of the stories that we're going to be sharing is the enormous efforts that we've been making to improve the relationships between community and law enforcement. And I referenced this earlier in our conversation today. No mayor is going to ignore what happened in Ferguson or Baltimore, places around the country that have suffered tremendously from a high level of miscommunication and distrust between law enforcement and the community. One of the things that I hope to share with the mayors when they come is Indianapolis's return a month or so ago on a limited basis. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight, but on a limited basis, we now have 19 beats so that we have police officers not in their cars, but spending a lot of their shift doing nothing more than going from door to door, walking the neighborhoods, talking to residents, talking to retail and merchants in those neighborhoods about the particular and unique challenges. We have a real-time data center that provides our law enforcement officials with updates and historical data about social disorder and disruption in their beats. And we are trying to use big data and technology to help better inform our police officers so that they spend less time just reacting, driving from one incident to another, reaction after reaction after reaction, and can actually park their cars, get out of their cars, know more about their neighborhoods, get out into the streets, walk around and listen to the local residents, And I think that not only that will that allow some proactive policing to be done, but it certainly will help improve the relationship between community and police.
In the last 24 months, I think listeners would find interesting, Boston, Denver, Austin, Oklahoma City, city officials from those cities have taken mission trips, excursions to little old Indianapolis to figure out what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we're excelling. And I know the mayor has had 12 to 15 requests already from mayors who are coming in, not just to bump into him in the hallway, but to have an official meeting with him to say, hey, we want to learn from what Indianapolis is doing. And so that's the ultimate compliment, to have other major cities visiting you and then specifically looking to seek for time with Mayor Hogsett on what we're doing right. And so the cultural trail is something that they all want to learn about, how we – this public-private partnership, the Lilly Endowment, the streetlights. I know we got an email yesterday from a mayor saying, I need to learn about this. And so it's interesting, and I think a lot of times we're outside the Indy bubble, we don't realize we've done a lot right.
Mm-hmm.
Past mayors have set future mayors up for success, and Mayor Hogsett continues that. And so it'll be very sense of being relieved, also excitement when the conference is over, because we know we'll knock it out of the park, and people will again go back home saying, I never knew what was happening in Indianapolis. And that helps raise the profile of the city.
We are talking with Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gaul of Visit Indy about the upcoming U.S. Conference of Mayors, which will be arriving in Indianapolis in about 10 days. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Clarice, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
You. So, Mayor, what is the real problem behind getting the blight of abandoned housing out of our city? What is the real problem? What causes the delay of all that being done?
Well, Clarice,
thanks very much for the call.
Yes,
Clarice,
thank you for your call and for your question. And the short answer is the delay, the enormous cost, is not so much measured by the elimination of houses that have fallen into such state of disrepair that they just cannot be rehabilitated. It's the process of obtaining title to the property. Many absentee landlords take advantage of tax credits for the purchase and the use of properties. And when those tax credits are no longer available, you will find that they will do little, if anything, to maintain the housing while they still remain the absentee owners. So when we do talk about why it takes so long to rid our neighborhoods of blight, many times that length is dictated by simply taking action, trying to quiet title and to obtain the title to the property. Because once you do that, then we have several avenues available to us to either determine, well, that home does need to be raised or taken down, or hopefully in the alternative, we would be able to match up that home with a partner who could help rehabilitate the home, saving it and providing adequate housing to a family in desperate need. So we work together with the Department of Metropolitan Development, the Department of Code Enforcement, and ultimately we need to work together collaboratively with the Indiana General Assembly to make sure that the laws that apply to these issues are as expedient as possible so that we can clear the blight and get about the business of saving our neighborhoods.
I've gotten an email question from a listener named John. He says, I'd like to thank Mayor Hogsett for making an appearance on Thursday to kick off our GLBT Pride festivities at a local bar. Says, and you'll have to give us the backstory on this one, you handled the drag queen's comments with grace and poise. In light of Orlando, I'd like to know if there are plans for increasing police presence in our community.
Well, the backstory is the fact that I helped celebrate the entirety of Pride Week by attending at Greg's Place, the Bag Ladies show mm-hmm. that has been, well, the Bag Ladies are an institution.
Oh, yeah, no, they've been.
And the effort at Greg's Place on Thursday night before the parade and the festival itself traditionally has been an important fundraiser for AIDS awareness, AIDS research, and AIDS prevention. And so the last several years, my wife and I have been honored to attend, and we had a ball. I'm not sure what comments from some of the performers John may be referring to. I'm glad to hear that John believes I handled them with grace. And in light of the enormous tragedy in Orlando, I was frankly very very proud last night when I was watching the evening news. I saw on several channels some of the, and I was talking about community oriented policing. One of the things that we've done is in our highest areas of entertainment downtown, Mass Ave, Fountain Square, in the downtown restaurant and bar scene, we have beat cops walking those beats. And I was glad to see last night several TVs report about how IMPD was already proactively meeting with restaurant owners, bar owners in these entertainment areas, talking about what steps the owners could be taking and what steps IMPD needed to be taking to make sure that visitors, restaurant owners, and others in the entertainment areas of our city, what they can be doing to better protect their customers and each other.
We believe we saw about a 25% increase for this year's Indy Pride in the culminating weekend from out of state visitors who were curious to come in and be a part of our Indy Pride. And so even when you look at last spring and the aftermath of the RFRA crisis, we thought that was strong out-of-state tourism. We saw even more family and friends come to visit and stay in our hotels and fill up Indy Pride, and it was happy to see Mayor Hogsett and his delegation in the Indy Welcomes All T-shirts. So it was a strong Pride and one that we were very prideful of.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask real quickly, and we've got about 20 seconds on this, Chris, if members of the public want to plug into any part of the conference, where do they go to get the information to do so?
Yeah, sure. So we have still the need for some volunteers, and they can call 800-556-INDY and ask to plug into the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
Be great. Well, that is an appropriate last word. I'd like to thank both of my guests, Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett and Chris Gall of Visit Indy. It's been a fascinating conversation, gentlemen. Also like to invite our listeners to come back on Thursday when we're going to continue our multi-part discussion of poverty and opportunity in America and in Indiana specifically. It's called Chasing the Dream. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.